The title of this message is Don't Be Afraid. I didn't know whether to say don't be discouraged or whatever, but it's just don't be afraid. Believe in the Lord your God. I have people calling all the time, and they're afraid and they're worried, and I understand that. I'm not underrating anything. I know that there's a lot that could go really south in a hurry. And yet I know that God can work miracles. And I want to remind you of something. I'll give you these two stories today to encourage us all. But remember something. There was a time, 2,000 years ago, thereabouts, when the devil was dancing around and the demons of hell were rejoicing and they thought they'd won. But 3 days later, they lost. They killed Jesus and they manipulated and they did the same thing we're seeing today. And they took him out and it looked like it was all over, and even his disciples thought they didn't get it. And I mean, hell rejoiced until that third day when that stone rolled away and he walked out of that tomb. I'm going to tell you something. It isn't over till it's over. Don't be afraid. Believe in the Lord your God. Yeah, there was a time when the old enemy thought he'd won, but he didn't, did he? And he already had everything in motion and it was all set up to rule the world. And then Jesus walked out of there and crushed his head. So you keep that in mind. And so I guess that's a third story. That's to get us into this. We're way back this today. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles and then 2 Kings. We're just really back. And I'm using the New Living Translation. But it's just cool stuff. And I'm trying. There's so much here I don't even know where to where to begin, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we'll just kind of hit verses 16 through 24. We have an issue, and the king of, you know, there was just a whole bunch of Moab, all the ites, let's just put this, Moabites, Ammonites, men, you know, all declared war on King Jehoshaphat. Now, you've heard this. This message, I don't know when I brought this message. The other one I'm bringing in, I brought it in February this year, but I'm just tying it into the story the same. We look at two or three different things and come out of this and say, you know what? Sometimes we panic too easy. God lets stuff happen because God wants the glory. And I believe that things are working, and I do. I'm looking at it saying, God's let things happen to say, this is not in your hands, people. We're to pray, and we're to do the things that he told them to do here. But you'll find as we read through this, one of the critical things is this battle is not yours, but the Lord's. But God wants us to pray. That's our part. And he wants us to rejoice and trust God and be already thanking him for deliverance in this thing and for what he's doing and going to do. So all these ites come against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat doesn't have the people. He doesn't have the army. He doesn't have what he needs to defeat them. And so he doesn't know what to do. And he said, we're powerless against this mighty army. We don't know what to do. We're looking for you to help, God. What do we do? And so this is verse 12 and then 13. And all the men of Judah stood before the Lord. It says they brought their little ones, wives, children. They brought their families. They came. All the whole nation came before the Lord and said, what do we do? What do we do? We can't win this one. Too many ites. Too many different armies have come against one little nation. Israel's always been that way, by the way. People have thought over the centuries, we can just run over Israel. And they found out different, didn't they? You know, and a lot of you don't know, but I don't want to wander too far and say too much. But back in that, do you remember in the war in 67 and they were attacked and man, all those Egyptian tanks. Anybody remember that back when that happened? Okay. What you probably don't know is that the Americans, we were testing a new weapon. It was called the TOW, T-O-W, Tactical Optically Wire-Guided Anti-Tank Missile. And we let the Israelis, under the cuff, use that missile and that TOW system. And three men in a Jeep with a TOW mounted in the back could just scoot around, aim that thing. It was wire-guided, so you put a crosshair on a moving tank and just kept it just like a rifle. We're much more sophisticated now, but back then that was pretty sharp. And you put your scope on there and a crosshair, and you kept the crosshair, and you pull the trigger. And this anti-tank missile took off, and it could go out right just almost 2 miles, just under that. And it trailed this little thin wire, which you couldn't hardly see, out behind it. And you could guide the missile by keeping the crosshair on the tank. What nobody ever knew, they wondered, how did the Israelis knock out so many tanks? They had a 97% kill ratio with that missile. And who helped them? We did. And we gave them that technology and that TOW system. You won't find this in all your history books, but I can guarantee you that's what happened. So, a lot of this stuff now is released. I'm not sharing all these military secrets, but you can find this. But they tested our new anti-tank weapon at the time. My point is, one of the reasons, and I believe this with all my heart, that the United States has been blessed, one, besides so many Christians being in this country in our past, is that we have supported Israel like that. And God tells you, you support them and pray for them. You know, there's blessings for those who do. And this nation's had extra blessings because we stood for them and helped them. I know of other things and things in my day. I wasn't caught there in that happening, but shortly thereafter, and we did a lot. And God's blessed us for it. So don't forget that. Don't forget that. We are tied in with Israel. And these people that want to untie us from Israel are making a severe mistake. And it'll bring judgment for doing that. So you don't pray for this. So here we go, and this is just these stories here, prime example of how it works. Here they are, and here's Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, and they're so outnumbered, it's pathetic, really. And when you go back in the history of this, look at this, it's like they didn't have a chance. They military, tactical-wise, they didn't have a chance. So they bring their families, all of them, and they come, this little tiny nation, they all appear, they come before God, and that's where we get into our story. And there's Jehaziel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, and he began to prophesy the word of the Lord, and he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid, don't be discouraged by this mighty army. And then you pull into verse 16, tomorrow march out against them. And can you imagine being Jehoshaphat and this guy is saying, here's the word of the Lord and I want you tomorrow to march out against these. You want us to do what? You know, they got us surrounded. There's so many of them. Each one of us could kill 10 apiece and we still couldn't defeat these people. He said, you'll find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley and so forth. But get this. Now, this gets better. And we read this and say, oh, isn't that cool? But if you were standing there, listen, this guy is saying, I want you to go out, go face them, but you will not even need to fight. And it's like, excuse me? What did you say? You won't need to fight. Take your positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. See, that's where this whole message, don't be afraid or discouraged. Go out against him tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. For the Lord is with you. That's what we got to do right now. We're outnumbered, but we're not outnumbered. The Lord is with us, with you and me, God's people. The Lord's still with Israel. So do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them. The Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low to the ground, with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of, you know, Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. And the next morning, they went out there and through the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God. Let this sink in. Don't be afraid. Believe in the Lord your God. See? And you'll be able to stand firm and believe in his prophets, you'll succeed. And after consulting the people, he appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. This has got to be the goofiest military exercise ever planned. We're going to send the military, here comes the army band, and they're going to play out. So here we are, and here comes the army band, and they're playing, and the people are singing, and nobody's carrying weapons. Can you imagine what all the ites out there were thinking? You know, that's beautiful. I mean, it's like, Tony, would you have ever wanted to engage in a battle where they didn't have weapons? Are you kidding? Yeah. And then, you're going to see this. You watch this, because these stories are not just Old Testament stuff. They're happening now, and this is, God still works this way, and that's what he's saying to you and me. Look, you've done all you can do. What are we going to do? No, we keep praying, and we keep praising God. Thank him. Have you ever thought of thanking God in advance for what he's doing and going to do? Thank him already. Praise him now for what he's going to do. Thank him. That's faith, man. You're thanking him ahead of time. And so they go out there, and they're got the band. Give thanks to the Lord. See, let's give thanks to the Lord. His love, faithful love, endures forever. Let me tell you something. They would have killed a lot of these people had it gone wrong. It didn't, but just think about this. But you know who's risking himself and putting himself on the limb to be tortured? It's Jehoshaphat. I want to tell you something. In your home, listen to me. In your home, parents, see, there's times God calls you to take a stand in front of the children, the grandchildren, in front of the other family members. And you have to go out on the limb and be the one that's going to get shot at for saying and doing the right thing. And that's what this king of Jerusalem did. He told these people to do this, to listen to the prophet, the word of the Lord through the prophet, and he's right out there with them. Who are they going to torture? Who's going to be the one that they really want to get? The king. So he's out there. He's put it all on the line. There's no hope for him if this went south. But he believed in his Lord. And at the very moment they begin to sing and give praise, get this. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. So when the army, after they had destroyed the army of Seir, they turned and attacked each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see, and not a single one of the enemy had escaped. You ever read this really careful and just studied this out and said, oh my gosh, I mean, look at what God did, not a one of them, and then you can read the rest of it. And they went out and they plundered and they got all kinds of goodies and equipment and stuff that Israel needed from this. And nobody lifted a sword. Nobody did anything, but they trusted God. They believed in his word and they prayed and they sang. And God turned the enemy against themselves. Listen to me, people. Listen to me. God will do that right here. God, your enemies, political enemies, local enemies, whatever it is, God, they always, when they don't have anything else to do, they turn on themselves. You're seeing that already. They blame each other and they turn on them. God can do this. So what you say, what do we pray for? Pray for a spirit of confusion amongst your enemies, that they turn on themselves and quit looking at you. Let them fight each other. Then they will, really, truly, God, listen, it's refuse fear, refuse panic, be bold and courageous, and whatever you do, refuse the news reports. And I mean not just the national news, but refuse the bad news of people around you. My goodness, and I'm not just focusing on an election, I'm talking about everything in our everyday life. Everything is so negative. By the way, I don't know if you feel this, but I do. I feel in the air just a spirit of something wrong. Does anybody feel that? Do you discern that? And it's a heaviness, and people are sad and they're angry. And there's something, you say, there's something wrong. You know when evil is about. Yes, you do. You sense it. You feel it. It's just a brooding. And I'm not trying to get out of here and it'll be weird. It's just that you can sense it. And it makes you heavy. It makes you just restless. You can't relax. You don't have peace. Everybody know what I'm saying? And it's just there. And that's how God lets his Christian people know that something's wrong and it's time to pray. When you know when evil is trying to, the devil is trying to exert himself over the churches with you. I'm sure that many of you are finding weird things happening in your life. That's what's going on and that's what God is saying. Hey, are you going to trust me? Pray to me, believe in me, and get out there and go towards the enemy. Don't back up from them. Don't be doubting, but believe. Let me just get this first point. I'm going to stay up. Man, I'm just this introduction. What am I doing? I've got to get on with this thing. This first point here is this. Know this. God will reveal. Listen, God will reveal truth to his people. You trust God and you ask God, reveal the truth. I've been praying, God, send your holy angels to open up at the truth everywhere. The truth around us locally with whatever the enemy's doing, the truth on a national level. I mean, there's things that we take for granted that just ought not be. And I'm not on a soapbox, but listen to me. I know. But you see this more than I do if you go that way, but it bothers me on Sunday morning. You can just drive right this way towards Bernie. And there's all those athletic fields out there and all these little kids. And those kids ought to be taken to church, and that ought not be. Friends, we take that for granted, and that's not right. That is not right. I know we want to go see our little kids play on Sunday. And what it's saying is, God, we don't respect you anymore. As a community, we don't respect you. We don't care that it's a day of worship. We don't care that this is supposed to be a time set aside for you, and we're flaunting it and throwing it in your face, and we're taking these little children out here. There's just several bunch of fields. I know I can get in trouble for this, but who cares? Trouble has been in my life all my life. What's a little more, right? But the truth is the truth. And when you're saying to God, we can't even just give 2 hours. Play all Sunday afternoon if you got to go, but Sunday morning? But you're telling these little kids, here's what you're saying. Baseball, soccer, whatever it is your God. And it's more important than God. That's what we're teaching them. And then we wonder why they vote like they do and why they behave like they do. And I hear people talking about the millennials and the way the millennials act. It's like, if you want to straighten out the millennials, go to the parents and take a paddle and bust their rear ends. That's what caused most of this. Run into school every time you little baby, you know, got in trouble with another little kid or something, and scream at the principal and scream at the teachers. And it's like, it's not the kid that just needs it. You need it. And I don't want to try to raise some issues. It's just that, see, that kind of stuff is teaching them. There is no God but baseball or football. And frankly, I'm not saying to do this. Me, I'm not watching football. I don't care. You guys want to go out and have some big issue, and you can take your knee, and as far as I'm concerned, you can take your game and shove it. I got other things to do. I mean it. I'm not going to support you. They don't care what I think. But you know what? I'm going to keep praying for God to turn all this around. So just remember, God revealed truth to his people. Ask God to reveal truth and he'll reveal it. God to turn the heart. See, that's why I think we have this crisis. I know. It's too much of that stuff like I'm talking about there. We've let it go. Christians don't say anything. We just accept what the world throws at us. And friends, we have to take a stand and say enough's enough. I'm going to speak to the city council. I'm going to do whatever, because this is not right. This is not right. And we wonder why things are happening like they are. That's why. And so, listen to us. Here, God spoke to a prophet. We don't know anything about this guy. He was just a Levite. He was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, you know, son of Jacob. And go back to it. We say, huh? But do you realize that you're also that same kind of person? You're a prophet. God can use you to speak His word to people anytime, any place, and He does. How many times have you spoken something, you didn't even realize it, but it had an effect on the people? You spoke for the Lord. You didn't chastise them. You just spoke God's truth and leave it at that. I've had too many Christians in the past in my life, and they felt like that chastising other people was the way to go. No, speak God's truth, and if there's any chastisement in it, let the Holy Spirit chastise them. Everybody with me? But speak the truth of God's word. When we're to speak the truth in love, we're all messengers of the Lord, just like this guy. And we go over to Elisha. There was another story here we'll get to in a moment with Elisha, and I love that story, but I preached on it in February, so I couldn't use it as the main story. You'd say, God, you know, can't you get any fresh material from the Lord? So, but he had a word from the king. You know, this whole thing, God through Elisha, God through this prophet here, spoke the truth of God's word, and they came and did. You see, it just boils down to this. We pray and we believe, but there's one more thing to do. Then we act on that faith. You see what's wrong in America? We do the first two some, and we talk and we do, but and I'm talking about American Christianity, but we don't do. Where's the doing? So many churches are talking the good talk, but where's the walk? Going out and doing something in their communities to make a difference. And I'm not talking about setting up booths. I go in these little fairs and stuff, and there's a booth, and you know, and hand out little buttons and trinkets. I'm talking about making a difference in the community. Doing something for people. Really making a difference. Not saying we got little, that's okay, you know, giving away things and all, but what we have to give away is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus living in and through us, we're giving away His love, His miracles, the way He is, His character. That's what we need to give to the world. Everybody with me? I know it sounds like I'm on a soapbox. I'm really not. It's just that God just keeps putting on my heart to pray, 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 to believe, and encourage. It's like, encourage my people. Tell them to refuse the fear, refuse the panic, be bold, be courageous. You know, God will turn the enemy against themselves if we stay together, if we're in unity and love and in our faith, if we just keep on keeping on and keep praying and don't give up. Never, never, never. It's our Christian responsibility to lead other people to Jesus Christ. And to teach them that word, to encourage them, and just to set an example. And God has been putting on my heart saying, what's happened to us? Not you here, but out here. How do we let just people mock God? And isn't that what's happening on a bigger level, national level? People are mocking the Lord, and I'm hearing people say, we've got the world, we get the country, we get the world. Who are you to own the world? What we've turned into in this country was, it's like if you've got money, everybody just goes, oh, wow. You know? You see it all the time. A person with money, some of the most stupid, ignorant people I've ever seen have a lot of money. Are you with me? And then there's other people with a lot of money, and they're Christian people. And God bless them. They help the churches. They just give and they do. But you get out here and I just look at some of the people that this. And I won't call names, but on a bigger scale, look how stupid they are. Then they, because they have money, they just say or do anything, and it's okay. It's not okay. It's not never okay. Anyway, enough on that. Let me give you the second point. First one is that God revealed the truth. And when God reveals that truth, then believe that truth. And fear not. Here in verse 16, what did he say? Let me go back to this. He said, tomorrow march out against them. You'll find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz and Bob, but you'll not even need to fight. Take your positions and stand still and watch the Lord's victories with you. And then he turns them against each other. That's what you're going to do here. Whoever's against you, whoever your enemies are, next door, at work, wherever it is, or on a national level, friends, do the same thing. I want to grab just a piece out of 2 Kings. You can mark this down. If you take those little tedious notes, you'll note that I brought a message on 2 Kings chapter 6 somewhere back in February. And so I knew that, but I still love this story. Here's what happens. The king of Aram came against Israel, except that God would reveal to the prophet Elisha. We all know about Elisha. But every time the king that this enemy king would come against the Israelites, God would tell Elisha where they were. And he would tell the king of Israel and say, "Oh, the enemy's here, the enemy's there." And Israel beat them every time. And so the king got mad. And he said, "I want to know who's a traitor in my bunch." You can read this whole story in chapter 6. He said, "I want to know who's the traitor and informing the king of Israel." "And it's not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." See, friends, when you read this stuff, that's what you begin to pray. God, reveal to us. Reveal the truth of what the enemies of the Lord, the Antichrist, the anti-God, anti-church people, the people that want to set up the new world order, God revealed to us even the words that they're speaking in their own bedrooms. And He will. Pray. God is waiting for us to pray for Him to reveal the truth. He wants us to want that, to want His will that much. And so, man, this guy got mad, and he sent in the armies, and they surrounded him, and it looked tough. But I want to give you this. In verse, you can just jot this down, 2 Kings 16. He said, "Don't be afraid." Elisha told his little servant was freaked out. He said, "Look, there's this whole, look at this army." And Elisha said, "Don't worry about it." And here's what he said. And you, listen, friends, you need to remember this. "There are more on our side than on theirs." And that's verse 16 of chapter 6 over in 2 Kings. You need to remember this. There are more on our side than on theirs. Why? Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Friends, these are not little one-time episodes. We just don't see God working. And we don't realize. What does it say? It says he has legions of angels. I think sometimes we're too rational, too pragmatic. We're too logical with Christianity, and we forget that we're dealing in spiritual warfare and that the armies of God outnumber all the armies of the earth, and you need to remember that. And when the chips are down and you feel surrounded by whatever it is in your life, you need to ask God, "Open my eyes, Lord, and help me see that there's more on our side than on theirs." And when that guy looked around, you know, look what he saw. It said the Lord opened his eyes and he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with these horses and chariots of fire. This was God's army. Do you think those things disappeared? They're still out there. God wants you to believe in that. He wants you to know and believe that his angels are still real and that there's still that same kind of thing happening for his people. Go all the way with it and realize the hills. You know, you think these people in Washington think they're so tough. And yet, God open our eyes to see that all of Washington is surrounded by the armies of God and chariots of fire. God outnumbers these people. They're nothing. They're nothing. And if you read on in that story over there in Kings, 2 Kings, you'll find that God struck them blind. And they had to be led. I just love this kind of stuff. And that whole army had to be led, blinded. And they wake up and they're in the middle, right there in front of all the army of, you know, Israel. And it's like, this is a bad place, guys. And they let them go. And this situation, God took these people on and they turned against each other and they killed themselves. And friends, why aren't we praying that kind of thing? Turn, God, take the enemies of the cross and turn them against each other. Make them fight amongst themselves. The truth comes out that way. We see things because they start ratting on each other. God, put the pressure on them. Start pushing, squeezing, grinding them. Yeah, you say, Tony, you sound like David in the song. I am. I've always been that way. David said, go get them, squish them to pieces. That's the way I pray. Do I want them to go to hell? No. But I want some of it beat out of them. And on, I'm not mean that ugly. It's the truth. These people are trying to bring hell to us, aren't they? Well, I want God to turn that around and let, you know, beat it out of them. Take them out. I want to see some God, Spirit-filled, godly people taking their places. And I want to see more godly, Spirit-filled people doing what I'm doing here this morning. I do. And not trying to make everybody feel good, but trying to help people see that God wants to make them good. And I keep saying that, but this, it's not just to feel good. God wants us to really be righteously good and show the world how powerful He is. Well, I can't just keep going on with this. So in both these cases, people were surrounded by the enemy, and it looked like it was over until God opened their eyes and He said, just believe. Go forth. Sing and praise. Pray and trust me. Elijah had, he saw with, listen, you say, what made Elijah so different? Because he saw with faith and not sight. Don't you see it? What made Jehoshaphat different? When he heard the word of the Lord to this prophet, he saw with faith and not by sight. What a gutsy thing on both parts. They just went out, no problem. The Lord is with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? You read that in Romans. You know, take it to heart. God is for us. Who can be against us? God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Jesus, freely and graciously give us all things? Well, that's what I'm praying. That's what I'm praying. I was reading the scripture here just recently. It said, God will not let us be defeated. He who guards us never sleeps. Wow, you know, God, just keep praying. You know, look Him in the eye. Instead of being mad, pray, pray. God, turn them against each other. Strike them blind. Make them, bring the truth out. So let me give you these lessons and you can go home. Ready for lessons? I just put insights, not lessons, but insights. Listen sounds like I'm trying to teach you, like a school teacher. Insights sound more seminarian. So let's gain some insights from this passage today. And what are they? Here's the first one. John, you make a note of this. Things are seldom the way we see them. Things are seldom the way we see them, and they're hardly ever the way we hear them. You agree with that? Don't you ever judge by the circumstances. Don't. Don't look out there and say, oh man, we're out. No, this isn't going to work. Nope. Things are seldom the way we see them and hardly ever the way we hear them. Secondly, stand strong in God's truth. When you do, God will use you to humble your enemies. You stand strong in God's truth and God will use you to humble your enemies. He will. Third insight, when it looks bad, it may be really good. When it looks bad, it may be really good. See, here's what happened. Let me hit this. Over there with Elijah in 2 Kings, it looked really bad. What we don't get from that page is that the king of Aram and people, he'd been attacking Israel. This stuff had gone on a long time. And then they finally together, and they're going to take out Elisha because he reveals their plans to the king. And then the eyes are open and you can see the chariots and armies of the Lord, and God just struck the enemy blind. And then they led these people by the hand right into Israel. What did Israel do? They fed them on Elisha's word and let them go home. And they had peace for a long time. They got back into war again many years later, but for a long time they had peace. You see, so what do you learn from that? God will do the same thing for you. He will use you to humble your enemies. He will use you to bring humility to your enemies. God's good at this. I laugh, I think it's bad. And when it looks bad, it may be really good. Did it look bad for Elijah? Did it look bad for Jehoshaphat? Do some things look really bad now? And it may be really good if you'll just believe. Man, it's when it looks bad that God comes on the scene, and through our prayers and fasting, some of you might want to fast and set some time aside a day or so to the Lord. But whatever you do, you know, you pray and you believe and you said, I'm going to refuse fear. I'm going to refuse panic. I'm going to be bold and courageous. And I'm going to ask God to blind the enemy, turn them against each other. This whole army, I mean, there's several armies right here with Jehoshaphat in this Second Chronicles passage, and they all killed each other. You say, and so in another sense, not physical death, but in political death and in emotional death, and you praying for them to turn and kill each other? Absolutely. I'm praying for the enemy to be destroyed. I'm praying for them to destroy each other, not killing physically, but killing politically, killing however your enemies are. Pray for them to be destroyed. God, turn them on themselves. Let them eat each other up. You know, I've prayed that many times when people after me. God, you know, let them turn and eat each other instead of me. Hebrews 13. I'm going to give you this as I'm closing. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. That's Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. There's more. Read all of it. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Let me close. These are closing insights here. You remember that. Based on that, keep this in mind. God will never, ever, ever abandon his people. That's you. And that's me. God will never abandon us. And listen to me. You will feel abandoned. It will look like you're abandoned, but you never are. As a matter of fact, there's a passage you need to read this. And David in the Psalms, he said, even if my father and mother leave me, the Lord will take me in. And he will. Learn to see with eyes of faith. Learn to see with eyes of faith. You know what will happen when you do? You'll see that those who are with you are more than those who are against you. If you see with eyes of faith. And you say, are you done? Yeah, one more. You ready for it? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And the one whom the Son of Man sets free, what did he say? Is free indeed. Lord, take this word and give us that courage and boldness that we need from you. It's nothing real dramatic. It's not one of those jump up and down things. It's just solid, straight. Don't give in to fear. Don't panic. And there's more for us than against us. And the scripture has told us if God is for us, no one can be against us. Ask, it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. God will not let us be defeated. And so we take your word and we just apply it in our lives. And God, use us as your messengers, as your prophets to go out. And when people are being negative and saying it's all over, and it says that we may be used of you, God, to say those words. God is for us. No one can be against us. God will not let us be defeated. We stand in faith. We refuse to yield. We do not look at the physical things around us, but we look with eyes of faith. And we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And we do not lean onto our own understanding. In all of our ways, Father, we acknowledge you. And you will make our path straight and give us success. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.